Last week, we began our Feeding the Hungry series by listening to Matthew's account of Jesus' feeding of the great crowd. Matthew showed us a Savior moved by deep compassion, a Jesus who sees human need and refuses to turn away. We also began our honest conversations about food insecurity, asking how our faith shapes our thinking about hunger in our own community. This week, we turn to Luke's version of the story, and while the miracle is familiar, Luke highlights something Matthew does not. In Luke, Jesus doesn't simply feel compassion. He turns to his disciples and places the responsibility directly in their hands. When the disciples suggest sending the crowd away, Jesus responds with a challenge that still unsettles and inspires his followers today. You give them something to eat. Luke invites us to consider not only what Jesus can do, but what Jesus asks us to do. Luke's telling of this familiar story gives us a very different window into Jesus and his disciples. Matthew emphasizes compassion. Luke emphasizes participation. The miracle still happens, the crowd is still fed, but the way Luke frames the moment shifts the weight of the story onto the disciples themselves. When Luke begins, the disciples have just returned from their long mission, tired, stretched, and probably just ready for a quiet meal and a long nap. Jesus tries to take them to a deserted place to rest. But the crowd finds them anyway. And instead of turning the people away, Luke says Jesus welcomed them. He teaches, he heals, he gives himself fully to their needs. But the disciples, they see the situation a little differently. They see the sun sinking. They see food running out. The crowd growing restless. They see a logistical problem. And so they offer Jesus what sounds like a perfectly reasonable plan. Send the crowd away so that they can find food and lodging. In other words, let somebody else handle this. Let the villages deal with it. Let the system take care of them. But Jesus refuses to outsource the hunger. He refuses to let the disciples step back. He refuses to let the need for someone else's responsibility. Instead, he turns to them and says the words that sit at the heart of Luke's version. You give them something to eat. Not because the disciples have enough, not because they are prepared, not because they are the obvious solution, but because Jesus insists that his followers are part of the answer. The disciples' first instinct in Luke's story is practical, even compassionate in its own way. They see a hunger crowd that is hungry. They're in a remote location, and the late hour, they know people need to eat, and so they offer Jesus what sounds like a reasonable plan. Send them away. It's not a cruel suggestion. It's really not indifferent. It's just logistics. How are we going to feed 5,000 men, not to mention the women and children? They are saying, in effect, we care about these people, Jesus, but we don't have the resources to help them. Let's direct them to a different place that can help them. And if you're honest, that instinct feels familiar, right? When we encounter hunger in our own community, our first thought is often to point towards the systems already in place. The food pantries, the co-ops, the government programs, the nonprofits, the schools, the charities, all of these are good and necessary. But Luke wants us to notice something important. Jesus does not accept the disciples' outsourcing plan. He doesn't say, you're right, this is too big for you. He doesn't say, let's hope the villages have enough. He doesn't say, maybe someone else will take care of it. Instead, he turns to his disciples, who are tired, undersourced, needing rest, and he says it again, you give them something to eat. This is where Luke's story intersects with our land of plenty conversation. One of the central questions in the study guide is, what is our responsibility to ensure that people have the food they need? Luke's answer is clear. Jesus places responsibility not only on systems and institutions, but on his people. Not to fix everything, not to solve hunger, but to refuse the easy temptation to send them away. Jesus' words are not a burden. They are a calling. A calling that says, you have something to offer. Bring it to me. Let's begin there. One of the most overlooked details in Luke's version of the story is what Jesus does before the miracle. The disciples have already told him what they don't have. They've already explained the limitations. They've already done the math and concluded that feeding the crowd is impossible. But Jesus doesn't start by multiplying everything. He starts by giving instructions. Luke tells them, Jesus says, set them down in groups of about 50 each. Before abundance comes order. Before the miracle comes organization. Before the bread is multiplied, the people are gathered, arranged, and prepared. This is not a glamorous moment. It's not dramatic. It's not part of the story we draw in the children's Bible. But it's essential because Jesus is showing the disciples and us that feeding people is not only about compassion. It's about structure and planning and shared effort. This is where Luke's story intersects beautifully. Beautifully. Good stewards of the food system. Jesus doesn't simply hand out bread and from a heavenly bakery somewhere. He works through the system. Imperfect, ordinary. He works through the disciples who are tired and unsure. He works through a crowd that must sit down and wait. He works through a process that requires patience and cooperation. Sometimes the miracle is waiting on the other side of our willingness to get organized. Once the crowd is seated and the disciples have done the quiet, ordinary work of organizing, Luke tells us something remarkable, something that shifts the entire meaning of the story. Jesus takes the loaves and the fish. He blesses them. And he breaks them. But then Luke adds a detail that is easily missed. He gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. Jesus does not distribute the food himself. He places the bread into the hands of his followers, and the miracle unfolds as they give it away. The abundance is revealed in the act of sharing. This is where Luke's story speaks directly. On the central insight in the study guide is that hunger in America is not primarily a problem of supply. We live in a land where food is abundant. The issue is access. Who can reach it? Who can afford it? Who can get it? And who is left out of the system? And it isn't distributed. Luke shows us that Jesus cares deeply about distribution. He blesses the food, but he entrusts the sharing to the disciples. He places the miracle in their hands, and he still does. Every time a congregation fills a backpack with weekend meals for children, every time a neighbor shares produce from a garden, every time a volunteer hands a bag of groceries to someone in need, every time a community works to remove barriers to healthy food, the miracle continues, not because we have enough, but because Jesus blesses what we bring and multiplies it so we can give it away. After everyone has eaten, after the disciples have walked through the crowd, after they have handed out bread, they were sure that they would run out. After they have participated in a miracle they did not expect, Luke adds one final detail. They ate and were filled, and what was left over was gathered up, 12 baskets of broken pieces. 12, one for each disciple. One for each person who said, we don't have enough. One for each pair of hands that doubted, hesitated, or felt inadequate. The leftovers are not an accident. They're a lesson. Each disciple ends up holding tangible proof that God had more than enough. Each disciple carries a basket that testifies to what happens when we offer what we have, even when it feels insufficient. Each disciple walks away with a reminder that God's abundance often comes after obedience, not before. And perhaps, just perhaps, if we follow Jesus into this work, we too will find ourselves holding baskets of abundance we never expected. When we step back and look at Luke's story as a whole, we see a pattern that speaks directly into our lives as disciples today. The disciples begin with the problem they cannot solve. They move to a solution that shifts responsibility elsewhere. Jesus redirects them back to the center of the work. They organize, they participate, they give what they have, and only then do they discover that God has been multiplying their offering all along. As we continue our conversations, Luke invites us to imagine what God might do through us if we bring what we have, our ideas, our compassion, our resources, our willingness to listen, our desire to serve. We don't have to solve hunger alone. We don't have to fix every problem. We don't have to be more than we are. We simply have to offer what we have and trust Jesus with the rest. Because the same Jesus who said, you give them something to eat, is the same Jesus who blesses, breaks, multiplies, and provides. The same Jesus who walked through the disciples, worked through the disciples' hands, still works through our hands. So may we step into this work with courage. May we listen deeply, speak honestly, and imagine boldly. May we trust that God can take our small offerings and turn them into something far greater than we can see. And maybe we, like the first disciples, find ourselves holding baskets of abundance, evidence of what God can do when we dare to take part in the miracle. Amen.